So we heard his name in our passage, Caesar Augustus. The most important person in the world on the day when Jesus was born. It was said that Caesar was sent into the world as a savior because he had brought an end to all war and because he set all things in order. It was said that his birthday was the beginning of the good news for the whole world. It was said that Caesar was divine. These sorts of messages were everywhere in the ancient world. They were on inscriptions and monuments and coins and histories, spreading the message of Caesar and his greatness. And like when you consider who Caesar was and what Caesar did, much of this praise was earned. Caesar expanded the Roman Empire. He powerfully brought enemies into submission, creating a sort of peace, or at least calm, throughout the empire. He oversaw massive building projects that made people's lives better. Projects like roads to travel, like theaters for entertainment, and aqueducts for clean water. I think of the way that we get to the end of like a four-year presidential term and people start asking the question, right? Are we better off now than we were 4 years ago? Many people living in the Roman Empire would have said, yes, Caesar has improved our lives. There were even some Jewish women and men who believed that God raised up Rome, that God had selected Caesar. Why does Caesar matter? Why does any of this matter for us as we begin to reflect on the Christmas story? It matters because this is where Luke starts telling the story of Jesus. Caesar is so powerful that he can simply speak a word and the world responds. He commands and his citizens move. Contrasted with the so-called king of the universe who is a baby and nobody listens to him. But Luke isn't simply telling the story of a king born in the shadow of another king. The king born in Nazareth, according to Luke, is going to bring peace to the earth. The birth of this king is good news for all people. This king is a savior. King Jesus is God with us. But notice what Luke is doing in this story. He's taking all of the things that many in the world already believe is true about Caesar, and he's saying, no, these claims belong to Jesus. As much as it might look like Caesar deserves this praise. And so what Luke is saying is, no, Jesus is the good news for all people. That is the real good news. That Jesus is the true peacemaker on earth. That Jesus is our only savior. That Jesus is God. But here's the thing, right? Luke is telling this story in kind of the most absurd way possible. Because he's telling us that this tiny newborn from a poor family in a small town is all of these things already, right? And it's only a group of dirty, tired, ignored shepherds who know the truth. I mean, the shepherds are the only ones who know what has happened. I love this story so much, right? An angel tells these shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. All people. It starts with shepherds. This message for all people. I mean, the message doesn't have a great start to it. I mean, its audience is a mother and a father and shepherds. And the message, when we're honest, is kind of unbelievable, right? That this baby would be God's anointed Messiah. That this baby would grow up to save the world. That this baby would one day be more powerful than Caesar. That this baby would know you. Like, would know me, would know us. And would one day give his life for us. This baby, at that point in human history, like the likelihood that any baby would make it past 2 years old, let alone adulthood, was so low that many families didn't even name their children until their second birthday. Let me come back to this in just a minute. And for just a moment, let me tell you about one of my new favorite holiday specials. So one small part of Marvel's cinematic universe is the Guardians of the Galaxy. The Guardians are a bunch of space creatures led by a human named Peter. I identify with Peter in a lot of ways. My office admin, Carla, likes to remind me that I'm way more like him than I'm comfortable with. But Peter grew up in space, raised by aliens. That's all you need to know about me. So he often misses aspects of life on Earth. So in this holiday special, two of Peter's closest friends, they just have noticed that Peter's especially sad lately, and they know that it's Christmas time back on Earth, and so they set out for Earth with the goal of finding Peter an amazing Christmas present. And let me tell you, this holiday special has one of the sneakiest, most subversive Christmas messages I've seen in anything in a while. See, because as Peter's friends come to Earth, there is this running gag that none of the space creatures can figure out what Christmas is. In fact, they sing a song about it. We don't know what Christmas is. They've heard stories of Santa, but the stories don't like make sense. They've heard of lights and decorations and reindeer and mistletoe and elves and all of this stuff. And to them, it seems really fun and like kind of exciting, but it also just makes Earthlings seem really weird. Just sometimes think about all of those things and how they can, what. Yeah, see, none of these Christmassy things seem to mean anything to these creatures. But Peter's friends, they get to Earth, and they make their way through this shopping center that's filled with Christmas stuff. Probably don't have to use your imagination to consider what that looks like. And there's this moment, and this is the moment. And if you blink, it's gone. When Peter's friends, they stop and they look, and this is what they see. Look at their faces. They have no idea what they're looking at, right? Look at how confused they are. In all of their Christmas talk and research and now travels to Earth, they clearly have never come across the story of Jesus. They're confused by it. And so think about it. The mass or worship service that's dedicated to Christ, literally Christ Mass, Christmas, right on the day we remember his birth. And these two, they're here to find a Christmas present, and they have no idea who Jesus is. They've come looking for the perfect gift for their friend. But because they have Christmas so confused, because they've only been given a cultural festival called Christmas, but no Christ, right? They have no idea what they are looking at. And that in front of them is the best gift they could have ever given their friend Peter. So imagine the shepherds for just a second. different scenario. They've been out in the fields for a few weeks, but you know, they've run out of food and they need to come back into town to restock. And they'd wandered a bit far from their homes, but Bethlehem is close, so they drop in. And now imagine, without angels appearing in the sky to them, without an announcement of good news, these shepherds just happen to come across this young family, a mother and a father holding their newborn baby. The parents are absolutely beaming, right? Because God has told them that this baby will be special. But the shepherds, they just see a baby and they stare, confused, like these two, right? You could see it. You could pull that down. It's only because they've seen angels singing on high, and they've heard that this baby is no ordinary baby, that they can come and they can praise God because of what they are seeing. So this holiday special, it beautifully and subtly reminds us that our Christmas hopes, that our Christmas imagination, our Christmas joy is often being powerfully shaped by the hopes and the imagination and the false joy of our world, while the truth is hiding in plain sight. In just a split second, that special reminds us that there are loads of people celebrating a cultural Christmas right now who would have no idea what they were looking at if they came across a scene with Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And we wonder with the Apostle Paul, how will they call on him if they've never believed? And how will they believe if they've never heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching to them? And how will they preach? And who will preach that hasn't been sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The shepherds, they heard from the angels. They went to see for themselves, and they told others what they had experienced. They believed the angels that this good news was for everyone, that this Savior, this King, had come for everyone, for each and every one of us. And so they started to spread the news, because if you have found the one who is good news for everyone, how could you hold that to yourself? And think for just a second, right? How crazy they sounded. It's not like anyone at that moment could really start following this baby. Like, what would you do if you were told this baby is the actual King? Do you bow to it? It doesn't give you orders yet. And so there was still an emperor on the throne, somebody who everybody considered the most important man in the world. A man who would and could kill you if you started walking around announcing that there was another, a better divine peacemaker who saves his people. All of this reminds me a little bit of one of my daughter's best friends. We adore her. She is one of the absolute sweetest humans in the world. And so she would never tell us to our faces that we're crazy people, but you can see it on her face sometimes, every time. And it happens often enough that she discovers that some aspect of our life is ordered by Jesus and just looks and sounds very weird, that doesn't make sense to her. Sometimes she'll ask, but why? And sometimes she'll just raise an eyebrow at us. We know that she loves us, but we also know that she thinks we're very strange. What's interesting, right, is that she doesn't think Christmas is strange. She doesn't think our cultural Christmas is strange. That it's somehow normal. But don't forget what the creatures from another planet think. They think it's weird. She thinks all of it is the most normal and exciting thing in the world, as long as you keep the Jesus part out. Can I just say that, you know, 2,000 years after this story was first lived, it's not easier to declare that this baby is worthy of your entire life. That's still a bold claim. It's not easy right now to ignore all of the cultural noise and nonsense and to just come to Jesus. It's to let yourself be loved by Jesus and to let him transform you. But when you do, when you trust the word of the angels on high, the message of the shepherds, and you come, when you come to Jesus, when you encounter his love for you, and you understand what he offers you and the world, you will find yourself with a message like the shepherds, a message of your own that you are being sent to share. And like the shepherds, you won't be able to help but glorify and praise God for all that you have heard and seen, because your life will be filled with joy and with the light of Christ. And you will be asked to share that joy, to share that light with others. I'm gonna ask our team to come back up. And I'm just gonna ask you to consider how you might respond tonight. Tonight, will you come to Jesus and adore him? Seeing him as who he is. Will you encounter God this evening? In the midst of the darkness and the candlelight, will you encounter God with us in Jesus? And I wonder, do you know that God is for you? That God is for you in Jesus? That God is for us in Jesus? Do you know tonight how deeply loved by God you are? And will you receive this good news of great joy? Will you let his light shine brightly in you, and will you share it with others? I have encouraged you to come, but know that before you ever come to God, he came to you. And so tonight, as a way of responding to this joy, the light of Christ, in just a minute, we'll turn out the lights, and I will light a candle from the Christ candle, and I'll bring it down, and I'll light somebody's candle, and then it will just begin to spread throughout the room. Let that be a visual for you of what has been happening over the last 2,000 years, but let it also be a reminder that you can't actually, like, you came here tonight, but there is an extent to which God is the one coming to you. The light is coming to you. And so, as you wait for it, would you let that be a moment for prayer, gratitude, glorifying and praising God for what he's done, and join us as we sing together, both of this great joy that's come to us, and also as we consider what it means for us to carry this message out and into the world. If you need a candle, we still have more, so I want to make sure everybody got one. As it starts to pass, if you didn't, you can just make your way to the door, and Nate will be able to help you get one. Would you stand with me? Jesus, we receive your light tonight. grateful that you light up the darkness. The darkness doesn't disappear, but you have promised that the darkness will never overcome the light. And so with your light shining bright in us, we ask you, God, to continue to be at work in us, continue loving us, continue transforming our lives and filling us with light so that we might shine brightly in the world for you, on your behalf, so that others might see and have hope and know you. As we wait tonight to receive the light, would you meet us in the waiting and remind us again of your deep love and faithfulness to us. Pray this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.